Your conference is being recorded.
Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Avi.
Thank you. So the very first question that we received is actually a scientific one. What is the minimum number of virons needed to start an infection with the SARS-CoV-2 virus? Jessica, do you want to make any comment, or that any of the team members want to make a comment regarding this?
Well, it's not a question I can answer. I think there may be some other people on the call who are physicians and have medical backgrounds who probably have a better chance to answer the question than I would.
Would anyone else on the call fear to comment? If not, we will proceed to the next question, and we will refer this to our next phone call. The next question is, where are we with flattening the curve in Philadelphia?
So, I mean, if it's okay with you, is it okay if I give a little bit of an update, and then I can take some of these questions in groups?
Absolutely. That's the
questions.
Best thing. Yes. Again, I apologize. Jessica
was supposed
to give an update first before we do the questions. Jessica, go right ahead.
Okay, so just so everyone's up to speed on where we are in Philadelphia right now, as of this morning, we're at 13,486 cases, and there have been 521 deaths. So I think there does seem to be a thought that we may be in the peak now, and hopefully that's true. So we'll continue to see where that trend goes, you know, over the next couple of weeks. And so a lot of the focus right now is on what do we need to do next and what are the next steps in our approach to managing COVID. And so I'm sure folks on the call are aware that the state of Pennsylvania has put out some planning guidance, and that planning guidance is being reviewed here by our health commissioner, by other people in city government, to determine how it will apply to Philadelphia. And then prior to that plan being put out, there was also a plan that was in development here that was more of a regional plan to address what will be our approach regionally and in the city to reopening and being able to safely do things. And so right now, I think nothing is exactly firm, but both of those documents and those planning initiatives are being reviewed to see what makes the most sense in Philadelphia. But what I can tell you is that there are a couple of initiatives that will definitely be high priority and will be a part of any planning going forward. One, as I'm sure everyone can guess, is testing and increasing testing capacity, which continues to be incredibly challenging. So I know there was at least one question on this list that addressed what are the ongoing challenges. And the challenges right now, one, there are many, and I think they were probably all named in the question. There is just a general lack of testing kits, a lack of nasal, the NP swabs, transport media, lack of reagents. And so those continue to just be very challenging issues locally and with national supply chains. I think we are not the only location that is struggling with being able to maintain a sufficient supply of material in order to be able to expand testing the way that we would like to. So that being said, there has been work done through the health department to engage federally qualified health centers in order to expand their testing to be able to include their own patients as well as non-patients who they might be able to enroll in order to provide testing. And so we're providing some support to be able to do that with what little supplies we have. We're offering our support as long as locations are willing to accept people who may not be affiliated with a particular health system. And we really want to try to, as best we can, make testing more widely available throughout Philadelphia. And so that initiative is underway. Again, we are struggling with the lack of supplies in order to be able to do this as aggressively as we'd like to. And we're hopeful that we will see more testing capacity increasing and more supplies coming in the coming weeks and months. Another opportunity that we have, which also has some of its own challenges, is the availability of rapid testing. And so we do have some rapid testing capacity through it's the Abbott ID Now technology. And so our lab is in the process right now of validating some of the devices that they have, and we're hoping that will provide some additional capacity to other sites that are interested in doing rapid testing. We're still in the validation process to make sure that the testing with those devices matches up well with the testing that's done through conventional PCR assays. And so we're hopeful that in the next week or two, we'll have some good testing validation studies completed, and we'll be able to deploy those rapid testing devices, which will hopefully increase our testing capacity with some of the FQHCs. So that's been the effort right now, has been to work through some of those existing FQHCs in order to expand testing and hopefully make it more geographically available throughout the city. The one thing I would add on the rapid testing is that although we have the devices, the cartridges and supplies that are needed to operate those devices are also being doled out very slowly, and so there's also going to be a supply limitation there. But I'm hoping that between the combination of the NP swabbing, traditional testing, and the introduction of rapid testing, that may help to increase our capacity overall over the coming weeks and months. But testing obviously is going to be very important moving forward when we start to think about reopening or gradual reopening. It is going to be very important to continue that aggressive testing, really increase testing, so that we can then be aggressive in our containment measures. And so I know some of the questions that also came through that you provided, Eileen, also address some of the approach to contact tracing. And so I think that it's well understood here that contact tracing has to be very aggressive, particularly as we might get into the reopening of things in Philadelphia. And so that's a big... I'm sorry, is someone else talking? Join the call? I'm sorry, I thought I heard some background noise.
I did as well. Please, whoever's on the phone, please mute your phone. We ask you right now to please mute your phone or press *6. Please, *6. Sorry, Jessica.
No problem. So on the issue of contact tracing, again, we have been very focused on outbreak response right now, particularly in the long-term care facilities and some of the other congregate settings where there have been outbreaks. But as we start to think about what the future will be, and if we are passing through the peak now and there will be some gradual reopening in the coming months, then this contact tracing piece will be very, very important. And so there is a lot of thinking right now about what will that look like, how many people, how many staff will that require, what are some technologies that could be helpful in being able to really effectively do that contact tracing. And so all of that is being planned out right now. We are actually adding a whole group to our organizational structure that is going to focus specifically on contact tracing and how that will be organized, because we do anticipate that is going to take many, many, many people in order to be able to do it effectively. A lot of our academic institutions have been in contact with my division director to see if there's a way that students might be able to support some of those efforts. And so I think there is a lot of consideration about the entire workforce that we could put together, both health department staff, potentially students or at other academic institutions might be able to contribute to this. And so that's all being planned out and thought out right now. So nothing, I think there hasn't been a definitive commitment yet to a particular technology, but our EPI director is reviewing some of the different systems that are out there right now. And so we'll make some decisions about what would make the most sense for Philadelphia. So I think that's where we are on contact tracing. And, of course, testing and contact tracing really do need to go hand in hand to make this very effective. I just want to add one other thing, and that is as far as workforce and volunteers. So I did see there was a question about the need for volunteers. And so the need for volunteers is definitely still present. The question was directed specifically toward volunteers at hospitals. And I think while there is a need for that at some facilities, there also has been a pressing need to support long-term care facilities and some of the staffing challenges that they're experiencing right now. And so we've definitely been looking to use our Medical Reserve Corps to provide some supportive services for that, and then also to support other testing as able. And our MRC volunteers have also been very helpful in supporting some of the activities that we've had at the Holiday Inn, which I think maybe people on the call are familiar that that has been used as an isolation and quarantine location for many persons who are unsheltered or don't have permanent housing arrangement. And so our MRC volunteers have been there every day doing wellness checks, and so that continues to expand. And so to address this question, I would say, you know, we're very much in need of MRC volunteers across all these lines of effort, not just at hospitals, but in a lot of other areas as well.
And Jessica, before we get off the call, if you do have it, if not, you could certainly email me. Again, that contact name and phone number, so we have a line of communication with the person who is doing the scheduling and can be able to get everyone who wants to volunteer. If you could get us a name or names of individuals and a phone number that we can use, that would be so helpful. And again, if you don't have that information right now, if you email me, I can get that out to everyone. I do have a question, and that is, are we doing any contact tracing right now? And I'm sorry you may have mentioned this, but is anyone in your department currently right now do you have a team already in place, or you're just putting a team in place for contact tracing?
Well, I think there have been various levels of contact tracing that have been happening since the outbreak started, and so I think there has been a lot of focus on perhaps individuals who are in high-risk settings. There has not been, right now, global contact tracing happening for every single case that comes in, but the hope would be that as the number of cases goes down and as we become more aggressive in testing, that we will have a much larger complement of staff who can more aggressively do contact tracing for every individual. So we're not there yet, and with the number of cases right now, that would be a really incredibly difficult effort. But we're hoping is that the number will go down, then it will be more manageable. But we'll still take a very, very, very large complement of staff to be able to do that.
Sure, and I'm probably sure that Dr. Farley and you and the team will come up with a number that you really need to get to in order to do that. We completely understand. Thank you. I'll let you finish your update. Go ahead.
Okay. So the one other item that I wanted to address, and I believe this also came up in the list of questions, is about PPE. And so I can tell you that the needs for PPE are still very intense at the local hospitals, particularly gowns have been in shortage, and they're really – everyone is having trouble getting gowns. And that's not just a local issue. That's a regional issue. That's a national issue. And so that continues to be an ongoing challenge. Other materials have been in short supply on and off. I think the hospitals seem to be managing with their own supply chains and things that they have received from us and from the state health department. But I would say that the PPE is really, really challenging also, again, in those long-term care facilities that maybe didn't have supplies to begin with. And now that everyone is in shortage, they, I think, are really struggling to be able to keep up with their needs. And so through some of the allocations that we have received from the state and what we had in our own supply, we have been distributing to long-term care facilities as we're able to do that, both on a more of a global basis so that everyone is getting something based on their bed counts or their staffing numbers, and that we're also dealing with a lot of urgent needs that come in every day and trying to provide those individual items as they're requested. But that continues to be a struggle among the long-term care facilities. There's also a great need for PPE in other congregate settings, so inpatient behavioral health settings, shelters. And so right now we're also starting to look more at what some of the needs might be among personal care homes, assisted living. We have not heard much from those types of organizations, but we expect that the need is there as well, and they might just not know how to reach us. And so I think we are looking to provide at least some minimal PPE, like surgical masks, to those types of organizations as well. And so the PPE just, again, continues to be a tremendous challenge for the hospitals, you know, through the whole spectrum of healthcare and some other facilities that are also interacting with patients who have COVID. And so I think those are my main updates. And how do you take other questions?
Sure. And Jessica, if you could take a look at the questions that I had sent you, and mm-hmm. if you highlighted the ones that you want to address, now would be an appropriate time if you want to take a look at some of the other ones. And if we could let everyone on the phone, let them know that those questions that we cannot answer, that we will have an answer for them on the next call. Is that okay with you?
Sure, that's fine. So the one question I do see is the third question. I did want to address this also, the question about serology studies. And so I think right now there is great interest in serology studies, but what we're seeing is that there are a huge number of products that are out on the market right now. Many of them haven't really been validated, so it's hard to know what is the best serology study to use. And I think there are also some questions that are remaining about what do the serology studies actually tell you. We know they can't be used to make a diagnosis of acute COVID infection. How can they be useful? And I think there's a lot of thinking going in right now to how could they be used here, but also what's the best way to do this, which is the best test to use. So a lot of they're all listed on the FDA website, at least those that have been applying or registering their products. And so I think some of our clinical staff are considering, what would be the best way to do this. So it's definitely in consideration. We haven't committed to anything yet, but I know there's the desire to want to do serology studies. I think we're just not there yet as far as how best to do it, which test to use, and how to bring that all together. But I think that's something that we'll definitely be seeing in the future.
Great, terrific.
I think I addressed some of the questions around contact tracing. There was a question around the next round of stimulus money, and so I think some of the CDC funding that we are receiving will absolutely go toward hiring contact tracers, and definitely hiring supervisors of contact tracers, because it will take a lot of effort to make this an organized system and to really be aggressive and efficient in doing it. I think I touched on the technology question. So again, our EPI director and colleagues are reviewing some of the technology that's out there to determine what would be most appropriate. Rights of privacy versus the rights of neighbors. I don't have a particularly good answer for this right now, and I think it's something that is being considered by the folks who are looking at the technology platforms to determine what would make the most sense. Okay, I think we touched on expanding testing, and then there was a question about if we get more tests, who will be the next groups that you will encourage for testing. So I think we'd like to expand testing to anyone who is symptomatic. So I don't know that we're necessarily looking for specific groups of essential workers. We are looking for people who are symptomatic, and then within those symptomatic groups, we certainly would want to make sure that anyone who is performing an essential function is able to get tested. And I think a primary thought here is that people who are working, we really don't want symptomatic people and people who have COVID to be continue to work, and interacting with the public or coworkers. And so we definitely want to make sure that we would be able to test anyone who's symptomatic, and hopefully expand this beyond healthcare workers and reduce some of the age restrictions that the health department has right now. Although what I understand from other testing sites is that they have already incorporated some more expansive testing, so limiting some of those age restrictions. But I think everybody is still on the same page as far as wanting to test people who are symptomatic, given that we still have a limited supply of testing materials. There's a question about prisoners who test positive and are being discharged. I assume this means being released from prison. And I think this is very situation dependent as to if they have a place to go. If they don't have a place to go, then that gets explored through some of the housing options that have been established for people who need to be in isolation or quarantine. So I think it's very situation dependent.
Are they using one of the hotels for the prisoners right now?
I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know how regularly that's been happening, or if it's been happening at all. But
okay.
I think when we're aware of a person who is symptomatic and when we are notified of a person who is symptomatic, has either been tested or has been tested positive, and they don't have a housing option, that gets reviewed here to see if it makes sense for them to be housed in the Holiday Inn. And then there, I think there's another site that's going to be opening up soon. But I can't actually speak to the census of persons who are at the Holiday Inn.
Jessica, I get questions every day regarding how do we get from red to yellow. With the dense population of Philadelphia, you hear all kinds of rumors. That is going to take weeks. We have to get, you know, to a certain number in order for us to be able to open up completely. Do you have any information today on that and can touch upon that and give us the formula?
I can't give you a formula because I don't think it's been worked out yet, but there is a group of city leadership who is working on this issue right now and trying to determine with this color coding system that was developed by the state, how that actually applies to Philadelphia and what that, you know, in practice, what that actually means. And they are still deliberating what that means and are looking at strategies that can be used once we make some determinations about what that means. So I think right now this is very much still in consideration, and that there's a group of people who are, you know, at a high level in city government who are deliberating how best to make these determinations.
So is it safe to say that perhaps in a week or week and a half when we have another update meeting like this, we might have more information then?
It's really hard for me to be able to say.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll definitely touch base after the call to find out what would be like the best update call again to be able to handle this. For some of the other questions that are actually coming into me now, I'm sorry we cannot handle everything to everyone right now. We might be able to take one or two more from those of you on the call who have a particular question that need to be answered immediately. Jessica, I'll let you finish with the rest of the questions that we gave you if there's anything else you want to answer.
I think we touched on volunteers, we touched on PPE, and then the last question on here was about golf courses and campgrounds. And I don't have a definitive answer on this yet, but I understand that there was an executive leadership meeting this morning in which there was debate about the opening of golf courses. I'm not sure if they came to any resolution about that, but there's definitely a lot of debate about golf courses and other types of outdoor recreational locations and when it would be appropriate to reopen those. But I don't know that in Philadelphia that has been a matter that's been settled yet.
And, Jessica, I take it that no decision has been made yet regarding the many, many events that we have on the parkway.
I don't think any decisions have been made yet, as far as I know.
Okay. Dr. Walter Sue, do you have anything you wish to say? And then I will open it up to one or two. If someone wants to unmute themselves and ask Jessica a question, if we can't answer it, it will be on our next call. We will be having another update. Dr. Sue.
Thank you, Eileen. Sorry I wasn't there at the beginning. Thank you, Jessica, for all your hard work in answering things. And you answered most of the questions I asked, so I'll let other people who may have other questions go forward.
Did anyone unmute themselves and wish to ask a question at this time?
Hi, Eileen. It's Claudette Fonchel. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. I'm not sure just how this is being handled, but we're hearing more and more about the mental health of our frontline healthcare workers. And I'm not sure, and my question for Jennifer is this something that's being looked at from a city's perspective, or is it just truly being focused on at the organizational level?
I don't know that anyone from the city has been involved in any conversations that might be happening at some of the acute care facilities or long-term care facilities as to the behavioral health needs of their staff. I do know that within our own division that is something that has, and within our department, that is something that has been addressed. I can't speak to any involvement that the city has had in what's being experienced with the frontline healthcare workers in acute care settings.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have a question for Jessica? At this time, I'd like to thank every one of you. And if Jessica from Penn is still on the phone, thank you for all that you're doing. You're there in the front line. We appreciate all of you. Appreciate Jessica and the entire team from the from our Public Health Committee. Again, we will be having another update, and I will have the final words from Dr. Walter Hsu, our chair.
Eileen?
Yes.
This is Joel Chinitz. I had a question about the city's position on face masks.
Jessica, are you still on?
I think the city's position has really been to, I think, follow a lot of the guidance that, for people who are working in some of those essential businesses, that, yes, they should be wearing face masks. People entering, should abide by the rules and wear face masks. So I think it's generally we have adopted, I think, that wearing face masks, we're wearing face masks within our own, building here, disease control, and so I think the department and the city are very favorable to the masking. That does seem to be a way to limit spread of infection.
Thank you.
And I actually think we have some. I think we have actually posted or just recently updated some guidance on both the public. Definitely on the public website, and I think there's also been some updated guidance listed on our health information portal that speaks more to the PPE needs and within the acute care and long-term care facilities.
Yes, and your website is absolutely excellent, and a shout-out also to the Philadelphia County Medical Society website, who both of them update the information continuously. So for the most up-to-date information for all of you who are listening, please, please, please visit these sites. Does anyone else have any further comment? Dr. Hsu?
No, I don't have any further comments. I mean,
okay.
We don't want to – we want this to be brief and short. And
that's right. We're 3 minutes over right now. Jessica, thank you so much. Rona, you're on the phone. Thank you. And to everyone, have a wonderful, very safe, stay healthy. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 5 minutes.